You're listening to Positively Anti-Inflammatory, the show for people just like you who want to keep inflammation down and your spirits up. I'm your host, Alyssa Abrahamson, functional nutritional therapist and wellness coach. Today and every Wednesday, I'm here to be your coach and your guide as I offer insightful ways for you to lead a positively anti-inflammatory life. Hello and welcome to episode 143. Today, I'm so excited to have my dear friend, Anna Brooke, back on the podcast this week. Welcome, Anna.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So Anna is an author, speaker, dancer, and healing arts practitioner. And we have been so lucky and so blessed to have Anna on the podcast before. Episode 21, where we talked about forgiveness, and then episode 82, where we talked about spirituality versus woo.
That was a good one.
I know. I loved it. And today we are talking about breath work. So I just want to throw this out there. I was thinking about when we talked about having you on the podcast again and wanted to have you talk about breath work, because I know it's been a huge part of your life for many years, and I'm really eager and interested to hear your journey with breath work. But I remember so many years ago, you know, we know each other through burlesque, and you were offering, I think it was like group work, like rebirthing workshops. So that's been going on for a long time. And maybe before we dive into that, you know, we can just, you know, it's like we hear, like often I talk on the podcast about breathing or just like doing deep breathing or, you know, et cetera. But breath work, like, what is that?
That is a perfect place to start.
Okay, good.
So I did not look this up, but I will say off the top of my head, breath work is the practice of breathing, pure and simple, as a healing modality. There are many different styles and types of breathwork. Some have become for example, like the Wim Hof method or holotropic breathwork. Those have gotten a lot of visibility and increasing visibility, which is wonderful. Yay, breathwork across the board. But there's, I would say that the easiest way to describe it is using the breath to create healing outcomes and to create more connection to self. I'll stick with that. I'm sure there's a better definition out there, but that's the one that's coming.
No, that's so beautiful. So it's, you know, we have to breathe. Otherwise we don't exist here on this earth. So, you know, breathing is such, it's this tool, but so many of us don't really understand how to breathe or what, you know, it's like it's this amazing free healing modality that we also we're not really taught how to use it in that way and to use it to our advantage. And so I'm so happy to have this conversation with you because it is accessible to anyone who is alive. So
correct. And that's it. I mean, I like to say how you breathe is how you live, which I recognize is a really sweeping statement, but I'm going to stick to it because take a moment. I mean, not just for you, my dear, but like for folks listening, like, how are you breathing right now? Can you relax anything in your body so that your breath can be brought in maybe with more ease, maybe with even a quality of smoothness, with more relaxation available to the body? You know, I'll start by saying our emotions are very closely linked to our breath. And very often when we feel something we don't want to feel, we stop breathing. Oftentimes to breathe is to be present. You know, I like to think in a lot of ancient cultures, you know, there's the, not Christianity, but like the sign of the cross. Like I'm thinking of the medicine wheel in Native American spirituality and a few other, and certainly in Slavic custom, which is my dad's side of the family, there is a cross sign. And it, for me, it's the intersection of time and space. It can also be the intersection of the divine and the human. It can be, you know, we can go on and on about that. But when we take a breath in, here we are. And I personally believe our breath is the key to our aliveness. It is the quality of being alive in this present moment with everything that is alive and around us and in us too. And in modern society, I personally feel that there are a lot of people who subscribe to the belief, number one, that you have to suffer in order to be of value to work in society. And also, there are feelings that are quote unquote bad feelings. I don't think there's such thing as a bad feeling. There's can be feelings that don't feel good in the body, but if it's a human journey, like, why judge it? And so to bring breathwork into that, I feel, is to radically come into the present moment, to not adhere or attach to any scripts or histories we carry in our lives, in our bodies, in our minds. It's to say yes to what is here right now. And on that same, literally in that same breath, what I can say is I believe there to be a radical act of acceptance, of self-acceptance, in giving yourself permission to take a full breath in and out repeatedly. Now, whether you're in a breathwork session or you're just walking down the street or driving your car or doing whatever you're doing, to breathe in is to say yes to you in that moment. And if we can soften judgment around what is, like, well, I don't like how I look today. Well, you know, I had a fight with my boss. I had a fight with my partner. Like, I'm coming in feeling really low today. Like, okay, cool. Yay for self-awareness. And are you willing to breathe into that? Are you willing to say yes to you by saying yes to your breath and just letting that be enough? Because each of us are enough. It's just the scripts and the histories we carry can sometimes spin otherwise.
I just wrote down all these quotes that you've just said. This is just, this is just beyond. You said how you breathe is how you live. You said to breathe is to be present. And then to breathe in is to say yes to you in this moment or something like that. But wow. Yeah. So how did you, well, you know what? Before I ask the next question, as you were saying, I feel compelled to share, because I was thinking, oh, should I share this later? But I just want to just share this. So on August 18th, it was the 10-year anniversary of when my dad died. And And so I was actually alone with him. This was August 18th, 2013, when he died. And I'd never seen anyone die he was in the nursing home. And anyway, long story short, I was with him and I know I'm not alone in this. Like, people have seen loved ones in look. So just, it was a scary, just look at him, his body, you know what I mean? It's just the whole thing. And he was, that day, because I had quickly flown in from New York because the palliative care were like, there, he's basically, it's happening, you know. And the day before, he had told me he loved me and he could talk, but he was like out of a feeding tube and all this. But then the next day, he was like out. But he was like in this kind of reclining wheelchair kind of thing. And I was just with him, like holding his hand, rubbing his arm. And I'd never experienced this before, but just all of a sudden, like, his breath just like changed. And all of a sudden there was like, I don't even know what was happening. And I saw like a nurse walk by and I was like, something's happening. She knew, like, I didn't know that he was literally dying. And then I can imagine it in my brain. Like, I witnessed that breath, like that was it. And then I saw all like his face, like just the blood, I could see it just go down and he turned yellow. Gosh. It was like crazy. So just in terms of, you know, like, you know, breath, I mean, that was like, I saw him experience that dying last breath. It was just so intense. And then, like, I'm laughing now, but it was like, at the woman came back with the nurse and like six, they like knew that it was happening. And they came in and I just like went into this woman's arm and I just let arms. I just like sobbed in her bosom. I just like heaving, I was like weeping. And it was, she was incredible, but it was like, oh my God. So anyway, breath.
What a profound, tears in my eyes, like hearing you say that, like what a profound privilege for your dad to have you there and to like,
thank you,
hold him. Yeah. Like it's making me emotional just thinking about it. It's beautiful.
Thank you for saying that.
One of my teachers always said, we come in on a breath and we go out on a breath. And it's really the longest relationship any of us ever have. Well, number one is the one we have with ourselves, but it's also the one we have with our breath. And knowing that, yeah, one day, like we will be taking a last breath. Like that's right. One of the conditions for like, none of us get out alive.
We think, who knows? But anyway.
Yeah. People who, it's interesting because actually the school of breath work that I am certified in and that I practice is called rebirthing breath work.
Yes. Okay.
And it's interesting because actually the two people who were kind of the founders of rebirthing breathwork, Leonard Orr and Sandra Ray, are big on immortality, which is a whole other discussion. And it's like, it's fascinating. Like it's fascinating. I don't necessarily like subscribe to it, but it's a really, as a Sagittarius, trust me, I love letting my mind work out in all those strange ways. So, and no, I don't mean to say strange as a judgment. It's just like in unusual ways.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so how did you, I mean, I'm eager and excited to hear about rebirthing, but like, how did you begin this exploration of this? And like, when was that? Like
it happened all the way back in 2009. Uh-huh. So long story short, I had hit a wall in my life. I was dancing full time, so I couldn't pay my bills. I had just moved into an apartment whose overhead was the highest I had ever been solo financially responsible for. And I was working 7 days a week in some cases, you know, from 9 a.m. till 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I had hit a wall and I like relationship stuff wasn't working out. Like it was, I was still getting over having to leave England, which is where I had gone to graduate school, where I'd wanted to live. Long story short, I was just like, I was a mess. And a dear friend of mine, who's from Sweden, her mother was a rebirther. And she said, I am sending you to my rebirther here in New York, my gift. Because I mean, I couldn't afford a knish. Like it was ridiculous. And so she sent me to this phenomenal woman named Maureen up on the Upper East Side. And my life changed after that session. I am somebody who excels in distraction and avoidance. Like those are, I have black belts in both those. If they were martial arts, I would, or advanced degrees if we were speaking academically. And I had never experienced a healing modality that called me so consistently into the present moment. So consistently. And I likened myself to this image came afterwards. I mean, I could barely walk after the session. And it's like, all I was doing was lying down and breathing. Like that was it. And I'm very comfortable. I had everything I needed. Maureen was sitting next to me, you know, coaching me through it. And I felt as I was leaving, I was walking. I couldn't walk quickly. It was like, I felt like it was like the world was passing me by at 1,000,000 miles an hour. And I was like learning how to walk again in a way. I've never had a physiological experience like that before. And over the next 3 weeks, these huge awarenesses rose up. Like, I'm talking about like identifying behavioral patterns that had been with me that I felt there's a term that we use a lot in rebirthing breathwork, like living at the effect of something. Mm. Like instead, you could call it victim mentality, but I prefer this nomenclature because it's like living at the effect of, say, family's judgment or just judgment period, or living at the effect of not enoughness, you know, sort of like, but, and something I appreciate about that is because we get to switch it around. Instead of living at the effect of something or under the influence of something, we get to wake up and be like, wait, I want to change this. But we can only step into ownership once we become aware of the scope of what's really happening. In my humble opinion, I believe that to be the case. And so my friend very graciously and generously got me another session with Maureen. And the image I was going to share was like, I felt like I was like this big egg that just got very delicately tapped with like the tiniest little silver hammer, and like little cracks started to appear. And over the course of that time, it was just like everything fell up, like all the shell fell off, like all everything ran out. Like, and I wish I could like name some of the stuff. It was more like identifying, like I had one huge pattern, like aha moment regarding like how I relate to my parents and how they relate to me. And just suddenly realizing like how much unconsciousness there was present in those relationships, and being like, wait, I get to affect that. Like, I don't just, I'm what? So it was, yeah. I mean, it changed my life. It changed my life. I ended up going to India with Sandra, one of the founders, and I ended up going to India 3 years in a row for this Divine Mother Festival. And it's just like, it absolutely blew me apart in the best possible way. So that's a very brief, explanation of how I got into breathwork. And by 2010, I had gone through, no, I guess my first, I started rebirthing in 2008. And by the fall of 2010, I had become certified as a rebirthing breathwork practitioner.
And so what does that mean? So like two things. One, what does that mean? And like, you're in these sessions and you're laying there and you're breathing, mm-hmm. like how can that be so powerful? Like,
so I will answer those questions in the reverse order.
Okay.
So yeah. Why are these sessions so powerful? So if you think about how we breathe, and like even just noticing right now, like how is your breath right now? If you could name the qualities that you're aware of, like, what is it? Even as I'm speaking, I'm aware I'm not mm-hmm. taking as full a breath in, one, because we're talking and I know this is being recorded.
Right.
But also if I were to start breathing more fully, I would slow way down. And that's very boring to listen to on a podcast in my own. But I think in addition to the presencing, like being brought into the present moment of breath mm-hmm. work, one of the most powerful attributes of breath work is that it decreases the density of emotion in the body. You think about, so going back to what I said about how breath and emotion are very tightly connected or very closely connected. Take a moment and, you know, anybody listening, anybody here, I will totally put a challenge there. Just set a timer for 5 minutes and just do nothing but breathe. Avoid your phone. You can look out the window. You can close your eyes. Doesn't matter. Do not distract yourself, but just breathe for 5 minutes and notice what comes up. Is it stress? Is it worries? Is it pain? Is it whatever? Just notice it. There's nothing good, bad, right, wrong about it. Just notice it and breathe into it. Because, and this is one of my beliefs too, is that physiologically speaking, when we focus on continually bringing in breath, it creates a situation where our bodies kind of become super saturated with oxygen. And as a result, any areas of our body where there's muscular tension, stress, maybe even stored trauma, because of that incredible influx of oxygen and all the other nutrients in our breath, it gives our bodies permission to relax. And mm-hmm. certain parts of us that may be chronically gripped, even though we may not know it, we may not recognize, oh, wow, my stomach is always in a knot. Or I always like how when dogs are scared, they put their tails up underneath their legs. Like maybe my root is kind of like drawn all the way up into my pelvis because I don't feel safe in my life. Whatever that is, to breathe continuously like that literally gives the body all of the chemical information it needs to relax. And in those spaces of relaxation is when energy can move, energy can flow. And I often like to tell my clients, within a breathwork session, what's happening is you're actually changing the context of your body. I recognize that's a crazy sounding statement, But what's happening is when we change how we are experiencing life and shift our perceptions, everything outside changes. And so when we are breathing, 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 and in rebirthing breathwork, it's also known as conscious connected breathing, there's really no break in between breaths. You're breathing in, and when you get to the top of the breath, you exhale. And when you get to the bottom of the breath, you come right back into the inhale. That is not a practiced or habitual way of breathing for many of us. And I also want to say, you know, some people liken it to hyperventilation, which it can look like sometimes. And what I find so fascinating is, like, notice what's happening when a person is hyperventilating. Usually it's because there is something intolerable happening, or they can't handle the charge of what's happening. Maybe it's reminding them of something in the past. Maybe it's bringing them up, just bringing up a charge that is just totally overwhelming. And so they start to hyperventilate. It's my belief that the body goes into that because that is an opportunity for something to be released. And for us to hyperventilate is, my goodness, if you're, go sit down, you know, support your body, but honor it. Maybe there's explosive tears that need to come up. Maybe there's, you know, gut-wrenching sobs. Maybe there's like a primal yell that needs to come up from the bottom of your gut to just release emotion. You know, and there's this, this is a side note, but there's this show called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning, which I'm completely obsessed
with. What's it called?
The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. It's on Hulu. So for those who are in America, like, go get a free trial Hulu subscription if you don't already subscribe and watch this show. It is amazing. And the therapist in it said this thing, and I was like, oh, she's amazing. She said, emotion needs motion. And they're talking about, like, clearing out the house. We were just talking about cleaning before we started recording, but it's the same thing. Like, emotions are not there as, like, furniture is. Emotions are to be felt, to be moved through. I like to think of emotions as weather systems. And what happens when you hold back 1,000 tiny rainstorms? You have a hurricane. You have, you know, a derecho, or like some, like, explosive event that knocks down trees and rips roofs off houses. And then, like, bring that into a human scale of things. The people I know, and I know so many people like this. I used to be like this as well, where we feel that we don't have, quote unquote, permission to feel our feelings, especially if that was taught to us by mommy and daddy growing up, or whoever our parental or caretakers were. You know, that sense of, I am going to stay quiet so I don't attract attention to myself, so I don't magnify whatever shame or judgment or fear I'm experiencing. Just, I want to leave it alone. And it's a very American thing. And as well as other countries, I can only truly speak. I mean, okay, fine. I lived in England for a while. Holy bananagrams. They all need to take a big breath too. I think we all do. But there is something to be said about, by giving ourselves access to our breath, we are literally giving ourselves physiological permission to give motion to emotions, whether they are a day old, an hour old, or 35 years old. It doesn't matter. It's to just give ourselves that fuel to feel, and to clear the field is, I think, one of the greatest, most generous things we can do for ourselves and each other.
I love it, because a few weeks ago I did a 2-part series. Literally, I did Feel Your Feelings or Let Them Go. And then the follow-up episode was, name it to tame it, feel it to heal it. So this is, I love that you're bringing
all of these are t-shirts. I look forward to,
I love, the giving motion to emotions, that's speaking to me. And thank you. So you started learning about breath work in like 2008 or 2009, and then you were certified by 2010. Mm-hmm. So, like, for you, like, how has your life changed through tapping into this healing modality?
I think the term sea change applies here. I realize I didn't answer your other question.
Oh, what was my other
question? For a second, which was the certification process.
Every
breathwork school of breathwork has its own certification process. It's not, to the best of my knowledge, there's no licensure for breathwork. Like you can't, you know, it's, you know how like a nurse is RN, like if you have a breathwork, like you've done breathwork, you know, and there's right. no like established what's the word? I don't know, protocol set to call yourself a breathworker, which for anybody out there who wants to get breathwork, just like make sure like the person who you're breathing with has a lot of experience and that you have a good vibe from them. That's just a little side note. But for me, it was a 9-month program where we were together 1 weekend a month and we breathed constantly and we breathed each other and we learned how to show up for ourselves and also support others moving through big emotional releases. It was kind of like getting thrown into the deep end, but with a lot of support, like everybody proverbially knew how to swim. But there was a lot of support and a lot of that anyway, and then practice sessions and so on and so forth. So that's to answer the question, I became a breathworker in that sense, in the educational sense. How has it changed my life? Holy bananas. I mean, it has informed how I live my life. Uh-huh. It has shown me that I have, in every single moment, if I can breathe, I have everything I need. And just even, you know, navigating the stress of the pandemic, and we moved to a new state during COVID, and it, I, you know, it's so interesting talking about like the respiratory, you know, COVID is a respiratory disease, and like people, but also like respiratory issues can be manifested because of stress, because of anxiety, because of a variety of situations. So I was thinking a lot about breath. And there was one day I went to the beach. We're very fortunate to live next to some beautiful beaches. And I just had this awareness of like, what if I know like all I'm feeling is very real to me. And what if I breathed bigger than what I'm feeling? What if the panic or stress or anxiety, which is enormous, call it the size of an elephant. All right. If that's the size of an elephant, I'm going to take the breath the size of a yacht. I'm going to, and it literally became, pardon the strange metaphor, but it has become my awareness of my breath has changed how I move through life, move through stress, move through joy, move through challenging situations, or even in therapeutic situations, whether I'm giving or receiving it. I mean, when I say how you breathe is how you live, like I'm not lying. there is such power to just take in a breath when you need it, irrespective of whatever's going on around you. And when we, you know, talking a lot about like inner resources and how can we resource ourselves, there is something primal about, well, have you taken 10 deep breaths? How are you breathing right now? You know, is there anything in your body that you can relax so that you can take a deeper breath? Is there a gentle position, like adjustment position? Maybe like, I know you love those pants, but like maybe you need to unbutton them because your belly can't like move how it wants to move, or, you know, to accommodate your breath, things like that. Like, I think how it's affected me in the most like sort of quick way I can say it is that it has shown me how I can be available to myself and how I can affect my lived experience simply by coming back to my breath.
So that's incredible. So if someone's listening, they're like, okay, yay, we breathe, but like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, what totally. Is like what, I guess, what is, can you give an example of just a simple exercise, or maybe even walk us through one? Or
yeah, with pleasure. So I'll give you, if it's okay, I'll give you two examples, just really quickly. So there are two, I feel there are two main styles of breathing. One is structured, Which can be like a 4-part breath, a 3-part breath, like pranayam style breath work. Or if you ever do yoga and you do pranayam, pranayam literally means control of the breath. And so a structured breath could be, well, here's a perfect example. If you take your hand and you start at your pinky side and you put your finger at the base of your hand next to your wrist, and you're basically going to trace your hand like how we used to draw Thanksgiving turkeys in class. Like
in school.
You breathe up to the top of the pinky and you exhale down and you come to the space in between the pinky and the ring finger. And then you breathe up the side of the ring finger and down the other side of the ring finger. Then you breathe up the middle finger, you breathe down, and you use your finger. Like you trace it with your finger, because there also is something really calming about having breath connected to sensation. And like, you can do that anywhere. Like, it's not going to look strange. You can do it on public transportation. You can do it standing in line at the grocery store.
Right.
A structured breath I find very helpful for people who might be experiencing chaos or panic, or where it's like, I feel overwhelmed. I feel completely out of control. A structured breath is literally providing structure to bring all of your awareness into. And there's a lot of safety and structure for human beings. And so that's one example of a structured breath. And then the other example is an unstructured breath, which means there's no quote unquote set way to breathe. The primary gist of it is to breathe in to the top of your inhale, whatever that looks like to you, and then exhale all the way to the bottom of the exhale and then come right back in to the inhale. Now in rebirthing breath work, we really don't focus a lot on the exhale. We really focus on the inhale. And so what I like to tell my clients is just focus on the inhale, because your body knows what to do. The exhale will happen. Just bring your awareness to the inhale. And so an example of that is to take this at your own pace, knowing too that unstructured breathing, it's great for like mixing up the status quo. It's for like bringing in some newness, bringing in maybe a little bit of challenge, bringing in a lot of vibrancy into the life. Cause you're literally being like, yes, I'm alive. Yes, I'm alive. Yes, I'm alive. Like that's to me, like each one of those inhales is a yes to being alive in this moment. And within the unstructured format, so it, like I said, in rebirthing breathwork, we breathe all the way to the top and then exhale. So even to take just, and if it's okay, if I can give an example of what, so I'm going to be breathing right into the microphone. I'm just going to do this three times. So here we go. That's an example of three connected breaths. So you might hear there was no stopping at the top of the breath and there was no stopping at the bottom.
I actually didn't. I could see you because we're.
Oh, you couldn't hear it?
Okay. I couldn't hear it.
Oh, rats. Okay.
Well, I know. I don't know why I couldn't hear it.
It's okay. It's a. Okay. Well, it's, how about this? I'll describe something. So for if folks want.
This is unstructured breathing.
This is very much a rebirthing breathwork technique. This is an amazing tool if you need to stir the pot and fast.
Whatever you're navigating,
whatever you're negotiating, this is the fastest way to do it in my experience. So what you do is you put your hands on the very, very top of your chest. So it's like if your fingertips are touching your collarbone and your hands are resting at the top of your lungs, take three connected breaths into the upper part of the chest.
This connected breath is what?
Like connected breath is breathing up all like inhale, inhale, inhale till you can't inhale anymore and then let go of the breath. And when you get to the bottom of the exhale, you come back into the inhale. So I like
There's no stopping. It's like a circle.
There's no stopping. And this doesn't mean like you don't have to be like marathon style sprinting doing that at all. Like you can take this slow, you can take it fast. Like please take care of yourself as you do this. But what it's doing is the practice becomes just breathe. Because when we pause, that's where maybe disassociative or distractive things can step in, or we go right back up into our mind when the practice is actually staying in our body. So to if you have your hands on the upper part of your chest,
so you're doing it through your mouth. You're not using your nose.
Yeah, I'm breathing in through my mouth. So hopefully you can hear a little bit.
So the,
through your nose.
So So unstructured, what you're recommending for this, I mean, sure, there's like so many more. But you're saying put your hands on the top of your chest and you're doing like three, like you can do it in through the nose, out through the mouth, or in through the mouth, out through the mouth, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever works for you.
And whatever works for you.
Consecutive, you're like, and what you're saying is that the focus for this is on the inhale.
Correct.
Right? Okay, the inhale.
So all you have to do is just keep coming back to your inhale. Keep coming back to your inhale. Like, let that be the mantra of this. And just go ahead.
Well, I feel like when I do that, that kind of is, well, that's interesting, stirring the pot, because that, if I'm doing that through my mouth in and out, that kind of is like almost hyperventilating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're recommending for this. This is not, this is the opposite of calming, because I do a lot of, like, for example, 4-7-8 breathing, which I've done a podcast episode on with my clients to help calm the nervous system and the, mm-hmm. you know, focusing on that. I mean, all of them, the inhale is 4, hold for 7, and then out through for 8. But anyway, go on. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, and thank you for saying that. When I say stir the pot with this kind of breathing, it's really bringing in a lot of energy into the body.
Yes. Yes.
And so if anybody out there is trying this and you're like, oh, wow, I feel maybe a little lightheaded, or I feel, which is very common when folks hyperventilate.
Yeah.
Like, take care of yourself, sit down. If something doesn't feel right, just soften your breath, let yourself just breathe normally and naturally. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing a version of myself many years ago, like getting into my car and I was really upset about something. And for whatever reason, I just wasn't letting myself cry about it. And I was in my car, busy parking lot. Nobody was paying attention to me. And I gave myself, I think it was like five of those quick circular inhales, and I burst into tears. It was like, I just needed that little push into like, hey, Anna, feel your feelings. It's okay. Just feel your feelings. Because it's certainly for me in my body, in my childhood, I was very much conditioned to not take up any space, to not like take over anything, like that my emotions would be too big for any space. And so I learned, and it actually became kind of like a symbol of pride in a way, like, oh, I'm just going to swallow this. I'm going to swallow this. And it's like, oh, is that why I woke up with paralyzing anxiety for like 25 years, you know, before I was like, right. Oh, I can actually wake up and the first thing I can do is take 10 connected breaths. Just breathe. Like, before I even open my eyes, the minute I become aware that I'm awake, take in a really big breath and then take in another one, nice and slow and easy. Again, this is not, you know, I enjoy waking up, you know, with peace, but just even breathing in, because sometimes, again, an old practice of mine was to wake up super stressed, waking up with stomach aches, waking up with my fists like tight, and waking up with dread. Like, I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to get out of bed, being like, okay, hold up. Let's turn this boat around. Let's take a couple of really deep breaths. And suddenly I was like, wow, I have resource now. Like, where did that come from? It's like, all I did was breathe. And it's like, it will never fail to blow my mind, the power and the simplicity of this practice, just to breathe. It's available to all of us.
Oh my God. This is like, yes. And we thank you so much, because we need this reminder, even though like we breathe, that's how we're alive, but we need this reminder. And I so appreciate you, and just, you know, you going through what you went through to then help others and help us and be here and just to like share your care and your expertise and love. And it's just so grateful for you. And so I know that you work with people, you offer, you know, breath work. So how, you know, we'll link to your website. It's annabrookhealing.com, right?
That's it.
But so what are you currently offering? How can people work with you?
First off, I love you and thank you. And thank you for being a force of healing. I love your podcast. I love hearing your voice, period. But like, please know that everything you just like shown on to me, like, I just want to reflect. I receive and I also reflect back to you. So just from my heart to yours, thank you, my love. Profoundly, deeply. Thank you. And if people are interested in learning more about breathing with me, I actually just launched a breathwork membership program, which is $99 for a month. And every Monday night we breathe. And that's, it's an hour and a half every Monday night.
Come, on Zoom, like online?
Mm-hmm. It's a group breathe, which I've been doing since 2010. So this is, I'm about to walk into year 14 of facilitating groups. And it's literally a place to practice breathing. You know, historically it was like, you know, specifically rebirthing breathwork. And that's my bag. So of course that's what I'm gonna be talking about. But as we emerge from the pandemic, as we come into more opportunity to resource ourselves in order to navigate all of our unique individual and collective twists and turns that we're all, you know, working through, just to practice breathing, I feel, is like teaching yourself how to swim. I mean, it's, to me, it's like a life skill. So I'm also available for solo sessions too, but if folks are wanting a sort of much more like, let's just show up to practice. Like, would you go to the gym like 90 minutes once a week? I mean, I would. I hate the gym, but I would do that. If it was like, oh, I only have to go in and just sign me up, done and done. So anyway, yeah, that's, it's yeah. called Monday Night Breathwork.
I love it. And as we're just wrapping up, can you just explain, like, when I hear rebirthing breathwork, I mean, I imagine, you know, a woman giving birth. So like,
and you're not that far off. I mean, it's a rebirthing breathwork works a lot with birth trauma, and how we can, I guess you could even say reparent, yourself, wow. and come into increasing access to freedom.
Holy moly. I was going to say holy guacamole, because then you've said bananas on this podcast. So yeah. I just said guacamole, holy bananas, holy bananagrams. You said holy guacamole. Like, I love
nutrient
that.
Nutrient dense, like, and fun.
So, okay. So that I love that explanation. So the rebirthing, it's like, learning to, yeah, freaking parent yourself. OMG.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to share in our conversation today?
Just immense gratitude to you, Alyssa. And just to, I'm so grateful to be here, and just keep remembering to breathe. Like we said earlier, you know, we come in on a breath, we go out on a breath. And this is, I dare everyone from the bottom of my heart to just keep breathing. It's good for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye. Wow. I'm just going to take a breath. Will you take a breath with me? Thank you so much for joining and tuning in today. I adore her, and I really, you know, I think my takeaway for today is to get back to that, a part of a mindful morning routine, if you will, just to, upon waking, because I've talked about this, I have a podcast on mornings, and something I work with my clients on a lot, just how you wake up. And, you know, that breathing when you first lay there, not only just saying kind things to yourself, which is a practice that I have implemented now for many, many years, but really being intentional with taking some deep breaths before I get out of bed. And if that feels good to you, I highly encourage you to try that too. And I will put Anna's website in the description of the podcast, but to connect with her, it's annabrookhealing.com. And again, thank you. I appreciate you. So happy that we are here breathing together every week. And until next time, say something nice to yourself, slow down when you eat, and say yes to rest.
Hey, if what you're hearing resonates with you, I created a free resource just for you, Anti-Inflammatory Living, The Essential Guide. To get your free copy, head over to guide.thewellnessheadquarters.com. That's guide.thewellnessheadquarters.com to receive your free Anti-Inflammatory Living, The Essential Guide.